Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, Will Stewart, Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Final segment with these folks here. If you miss any part of this segment any week, check out Supersports1017.com, our podcast page, uploaded shortly after we go off the air every day. And the app, listen on the app, Supersports101.7, iOS or Android. And matter of fact, you can find the segments over at TechSideline.com, too.
Yeah, you were going to start up that with that this week.
Yeah, we've been slacking about that.
We've been slacking about it, but we'll have it up this weekend.
Sounds good. Yep. You brought something up during the break. You want to... basketball related, Will. What did you want to jump into?
You know, I've been AWOL for a couple of weeks, but I remember one of the last weeks I was here, we were worrying about whether the players were going to stay invested and get Buzz's vision and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like we've gotten the answer
yeah.
in the last two or three weeks. I mean, something has clicked for these guys as far as, in my opinion, I don't know if Buzz would agree or not, in terms of playing hard. And leaving it all out there on the floor. So, you know, so my question for you guys is, if this year is all about establishing culture, which those of us on the outside think it was, is it mission accomplished yet? Does it look to you like these guys have bought in and are playing hard?
I think yes, from the standpoint that it's evident what he expects. And if it's evident to everyone what he expects, then there can be no surprises. Now, whether or not, you know, every player on the roster continues to give that sustained effort week in and week out, I don't think is all that consequential, because we know what the consequences are when you don't.
Yeah.
You sit, you know, or you may be dismissed from the program. So I think the expectation's been set. We know what the culture is about now. Everyone knows what the culture is about. You hear Buzz talk about it in chalk talks, post-game interviews, on this show. I mean, if you follow this program, you know what he expects. So I think from that standpoint, it is mission accomplished.
People think that players automatically – know how to play hard and things like that. And I think a lot of players think they're playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think I thought I played hard when I was in high school, but looking back, I don't think I played hard.
Yeah.
Now, if I played right now, I would have a much better understanding of how to play hard. I think this team is developing an idea of how to play hard. I think it's been there since the UVA game, and it hasn't slacked off at all since then. I think they've played at pretty much that same level ever since the UVA game. They're still going to have their ugly moments because they're so young and they're so small and things like that. But, and I'm not going to say that they're completely over the hump, but it's a six-game stretch, and six games, you know, it's not a coincidence. It starts to become a trend after a while. So yeah, I definitely think they're, if they're not there, they're very, very close to being there.
I think it was a great deal of good fortune that they picked up the win directly after the UVA game.
Yes.
I think that mattered a lot.
Yeah. That said a lot, I thought.
It did, exactly. And not just the ability to stay up and for Buzz to keep those guys motivated, but just to see it pay off immediately. Because, you know, 2 days prior, they saw, well, okay, playing really, really hard keeps us close with the number two team in the country, but we don't want to be close. We want to win, you know. And so then to turn around and to have been asked to give that same effort again, and then for it to have paid off with the first ACC win, that probably did a whole lot for the mindset of the team, I would imagine.
There was a lot of discussion on our message boards, you know, after they played UVA so tough. I remember the very next day on Monday, people were saying, what do you think we're going to see tomorrow night against Pitt? And the answers were, well, if it was a Seth Greenberg coach team, they'd go out there and tank it.
Yeah,
you know, because that was the hallmark of Seth's tenure, was play great against the good teams and then just lay an egg against the bottom of the ACC in the next game, lose by 20.
Boston College.
Yeah, you know, Duke, Boston College. So I thought that said a lot when they went out there, and that game against Pitt was a meat grinder. That was an overtime game.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz left the same five guys on the floor for about at least the last 10 minutes. I don't remember any substitutions.
Yeah.
So that really said a lot, and that may have been what got them over the hump, was to put forth that sort of effort two games in a row and get rewarded for it.
No doubt. So three straight road games. Clemson tomorrow, next Wednesday at Miami, and then next Saturday at North Carolina State before they come home to host Duke. You know, all three games are winnable.
Sure.
I mean, and again, they could go 0-3, but all three games are winnable. We're just seeing what we've seen from Clemson, Miami, and North Carolina State this year. You know, none of those teams are powerhouses. Miami and North Carolina State have really impressive wins, but really ugly losses, too. I mean, I know it was early in the season, but Miami got blown out by Eastern Michigan at home.
That Georgia Tech team that Virginia Tech beat the other night, they beat Miami by 20 at Miami.
Yeah.
I can't see that Georgia Tech team beating anybody by 20.
No.
How in the world do they beat Miami by 20 on the road? Yeah. Miami's got a decent team. They're Jekyll and Hyde this year, like a lot of other
right.
teams, it seems like.
Yeah.
But all these games are winnable. I haven't done my research yet on NC State. I watched them play a time or two. But as far as Clemson goes tomorrow, they're beatable because their offense isn't good.
Well, North
you're going to be in the game, and if you outplay them over the last 3 minutes, you'll win the game.
That's it. Yeah. And they beat North Carolina State by 11.
Yeah.
I mean, they scored 68 points on North Carolina State. Clemson doesn't score 68 points on hardly anyone.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what I'm saying. NC State is susceptible to being beaten, and that's been the hallmark of Mark Gottfried's teams, too. You know, that they play up against great competition, and they don't play very well against the bottom half of the league. That's sort of been their hallmark since he's been there.
Now, to be clear, we're not telling your listenership that Tech's going to go 3-0.
No, not even close to that.
Each one of those games is winnable.
That's the key word, winnable.
We have a chance to win.
Could be 0-3, but each game is winnable. And by the way, just quick as an aside, we got about 6 minutes left, and I want to talk just about Ohio State, Virginia Tech, but it does kind of feel like Justin Bibbs has hit that freshman wall just a little bit. Now, coming off a concussion, certainly that factors in, but it just kind of feels like he's hit a little bit of a wall.
When you get out of rhythm like that, you know, he missed so much practice time, and he came back, and he had a good game against, I think it was Syracuse, from a scoring perspective. But then he had a bad game against Florida State, and he started off bad against Georgia Tech. But then he made those final two shots when Virginia Tech made a run, and I'm hoping that gets him back in a groove.
Yeah, I think he was 1-12 before he hit those last two shots.
It wasn't quite the Dorian Finney-Smith slump from a couple of years ago. But, you know, okay. Anyway, so Ohio State, Virginia Tech, big opening season game, right? You know, it's got the defending national champions coming to Blacksburg. Everybody's excited. ESPN is pushing Virginia Tech and its power index as a top 25 team. I think for, of course, television purposes, you're really going to be hard-pressed to convince me that Virginia Tech deserves a top 25 ranking preseason just based on the way it – now, I think it's going to be a top 25 team at some point, personally, just because they're going to be more experienced. The defense is going to be good. Skill players are going to be a year older. I think they'll be a top 25 team, but I'm just – preseason, really – but it helps to have a top 25 matchup of that caliber, you know, on opening night in Blacksburg. Yeah. So, you know, the line opens up, though, 5 dimes, which is, you know, it's an establishment that I might, you know, occasionally stop by.
Yeah,
it opens the line at 19 points in favor of the Buckeyes. And the second I saw that, I was urging everyone that I knew to go invest, you know, go bet the farm on Virginia Tech at 19 points. You know, I'm scraping up every dime I have to throw it on a 19-point spread because I know they're good. I know Ohio State's good. I know they have this triumvirate of great quarterbacks coming back, and you know Zeke Elliott and Urban Meyer and all this stuff that we talk about and revenge on their minds. But it's the first game of the year, and it's still Blacksburg. It's still Lane Stadium. It's still Bud Foster is going to have an entire offseason to get ready for these guys. They're not beating them by 3 touchdowns at home.
If Cardale Jones starts, I know he's played really well his last 3 games, but he's never played a road game.
Right.
And Bud Foster will have 3 games of film in the whole offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And those are advantages that those previous 3 defensive coordinators he faced did not have.
Right.
You know, they didn't have a lot of film on him. They got him on neutral fields. And
let me just say
fields.
This, too. Cardale Jones hasn't faced a very good secondary yet.
No, I agree with that.
Alabama's secondary was one of the biggest weaknesses, if not the biggest weakness of that team.
It's been a weakness. I mean, going back to when they lost the Sugar Bowl to Oklahoma last year, and Oklahoma spread it out and just lit them up.
Yeah.
I've never... They're big and physical, obviously, in the front 7.
Yeah.
But you can spread them out and beat them if you have the right type of players. I thought one of the best game plans Scott Leffler's had at Virginia Tech was in that Alabama game. I thought he, from an X's and O's standpoint, he went head-to-head with Kirby Smart as well as anybody could. He just,
wide
receivers couldn't catch any passes.
Yeah.
Too many drops. And by the way, just speaking of that line, within hours of coming out, drop 3 points. That doesn't happen. You don't see lines drop 3 points in a day.
Unless they're out of whack.
Right, and it's already, you know, it dropped to 16 almost immediately. Mm. So the public told them right away, that's the wrong number.
Yeah.
That's not even close to right.
To me, the big thing about that game is one of the big keys to success in beating them this year was they had no film of the offense that Virginia Tech ran that night.
Mm-hmm.
So the offense was brand new. And then Bud did something completely different on defense as well. Assuming Virginia Tech runs a very similar offense, they're not going to be able to surprise Ohio State offensively at all. So the pressure is almost on Bud to come up with something even more new and more different than what he did up there. So, you know, 19 sounds like quite a bit, but for me, it's the Virginia Tech offense that's going to have to come through and score more than 10 points, or yeah, that 19-point line is realistic.
Yeah.
It won't. The final line won't sniff 19. I think the final line probably rests somewhere between 9 and 12, depending on injuries and money, of course. But I mean, and that matters. I mean, people say, well, it's just a Vegas line. Vegas is usually right or really close to it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And the public moves those numbers for a reason because, you know, it's just part of the business. But still, I mean, when you see money going one way, If it doesn't make sense, basically, go the other way. That's sort of the rule of thumb when you start talking about lines like this. If it doesn't make any sense, go the other way.
You know, and the perceptions people have of both those programs right now, Ohio State coming off a national championship, winning with their third-string quarterback, they almost seem like they're invincible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Yeah,
they really seem like an invincible football team. Meanwhile, the last memory that college football has of Virginia Tech is Frank Beamer throwing his hands up in celebration when it's 0-0 at the end of the fourth quarter.
You mean to tell me nobody watched the Military Bowl?
Probably not. Some people watched it. But I mean, the perception that people have in their head right now is Virginia Tech got lucky as heck against Ohio State last year. It was just a shot in the dark, and they hit their target. But the real Virginia Tech is closer to that Wake Forest game than they were to the Ohio State game. I think that's a lot of people's perception.
Well, the perception is that, you know, JT Barrett was a freshman quarterback. It was his second start, and, you know, it was a lot to ask and all that. But what's the defense's excuse?
Right.
What's Ohio State's defense's excuse?
Yeah, you know,
for getting marched down the field on by Michael Brewer and company multiple times. I mean, the length of the field.
You're exactly right, and I know they didn't have film or anything like that, but with the way Terry Williams had his way with Virginia Tech's offensive line the last couple of years, you tell me none of those Ohio State defensive tackles could do the same thing?
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't give up a sack in that game until midway through the third quarter.
Right.
Against Ohio State.
And they were listed by some publications as having the best defensive line in the country.
Oh, look across, Michael. I mean, wait, Adolphus Washington, Noah Spence.
Spence was out, I think.
Joey Bosa, of course.
Joey Bosa.
And was
Washington, the defensive tackle, who I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Noah Spence transferred to where?
I don't know.
Did he really?
Yeah, he transferred to some Eastern Illinois? No, not Eastern Illinois. It's one of the directional Illinois teams, but it's not. I'll have to look it up. But he's not there anymore. Yeah, Noah Spence is gone. He was kind of a trouble. He got suspended twice while he was there, right?
Yeah.
That suspension against Virginia Tech was his second suspension of his career.
Yeah, and eventually was just dismissed completely.
Yeah. So 19-point opening line, dropped to 16. I think it's going to continue to fall.
I think so, too.
Just not tumble, but I think it settles between 9 and 12 when it's all said and done. And of course, it all depends on injuries, because last year the game opened up at, 18, got to 17, and then when Miller got hurt, it dropped to 9.5 immediately.
How many players played in that game for Virginia Tech who did not play in the Military Bowl? Probably
8, 9, 10?
A lot.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
A lot. I mean, you had 8 starters or rotational starters, you know,
and
gone.
Even guys like Desmond Frye, who I remember making a big tackle, open field tackle in special teams against Ohio State on the kickoff team, and he made a great open field tackle, and then boom, blew his knee out the later in that game.
Yep.
I mean, it's just even some of your smaller contributors, Sean Heelskamp, played special teams in that game on the kickoff team.
Yeah.
Contributor. Blew his knee out, couldn't play the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It was
I hear you.
A total difference between that team and the one in the Military Bowl.
No doubt. We're out of time, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yep.
Enjoy
it as always.
Well, we hope you come next week. It's more fun when you're here.
We're all on a week-by-week basis around here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Day by day. All right, Will Stewart, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL and at Will Stewart TSL. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Y'all keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.